this is Lewis.
And this is Ian.
And welcome to 101 Films You Should Have Seen.
Probably.
So, what have you been up to this week, Ian? Seen any films?
Film-wise, I was about to say, not really, unless... Does 15 minutes of Terminator Salvation count? I mean, I've not seen the film before, so there were 15 brand new minutes.
Okay, that counts. That counts. What did you think of those 15 shiny new minutes?
Well, I didn't bother to stick around to watch the rest. Have you seen Terminator Salvation?
I think you made a wise decision to leave off at 15 minutes.
Have you seen McGee's Terminator Salvation?
Yeah, it's not that great.
Really? What, you went to the cinema?
I saw it in the cinema.
No way! Why did you do that?
God knows. Really not good. The only good thing about it was Helena Bonham Carter popped up in unexpectedly, which I wasn't...
Yeah, right at the beginning. I saw that bit. She's dying of cancer.
And then she pops up again later.
Oh.
Just a spoiler there.
I have to watch the next 20 minutes. I'll watch it over the course of about a month, just 20 minutes a week.
No, just don't bother. Okay. Really, just don't bother.
How about you, Lewis? Any films?
I watched about 15 minutes of The 40-Year-Old Virgin. Does that count?
It does. It exactly counts. We're so busy nowadays. All we can fit in is 15 minutes of a certain film. You've seen the 40-year-old.
I've seen it before.
Yeah.
That's
the right film.
It's all right.
Right. So this week...
Yeah. So this week we are doing... It's the first of our two Halloween specials, isn't it?
Kind of. I suppose this is Hallow's Eve.
Hallow's Eve.
Although that is Halloween, isn't it?
Yes.
Halloween. So we're Hallow's Eve. Eve.
That's good. I like the way you recovered there. Yeah. So this week is Let the Right One In.
Yeah, Let the Right One In.
Which is a fantastic Swedish film. Yep, but you didn't expect that.
Yeah.
Swedish.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're not just watching American films, guys out there.
There's things other than Terminator Salvation.
Yeah, and The 40-Year-Old Virgin.
I
concur with that summary. It is an excellent film. Now... you'd seen this before?
I had, and I've seen it before, but this is also a recommendation from Ian Twiddy. So thank you, Ian. Not this Ian.
No, different
this
Ian.
This is Ian with
totally
an
different
I.
Ian.
It's completely different.
And that was quite a long time ago,
but you know.
I wonder if he's still listening.
Probably not.
But yeah, well, thank you, Ian, because
it
was a good one.
It was a good one.
Yeah.
It was good, wasn't it?
Not out and out scary.
No.
Creepy, unnerving, odd.
Unsettling.
Yeah, that's a very good way of describing it.
Yeah, it's a very good film. Very good film. So what's the pitch? What's your pitch for this film?
What's your pitch? Well, it's a bit... I suppose it's like about a boy, but instead of a grumpy Hugh Grant, it's a vampire teenage girl. That's pretty much it.
Well, it's like you say that and it just conjures up the exact what the film is like, you know.
It's about a boy meets the young girl from Interview from a Vampire.
Right. I thought there should be more vampires in About a Boy when I was watching it. I was like, this one.
Has Hugh Grant ever played a vampire? You'd make a good one, I think. He would make quite a good one, wouldn't he?
He'd have to be a camp vampire, right?
He's a little bit tween. Camp. He would just be the bounder. That's what he plays. He's the bounder vampire.
Hugh Grant, if you're listening, your next film should be...
Tap up your agents to get your part as the Bounder Vampire.
Remake of The Lost Boys.
So the film's about a young boy, Oscar.
Oscar?
Oscar.
Oscar.
In 1980s Sweden.
I like the way you've given it the proper pronunciation.
Yeah, do it correctly. And he befriends an odd young girl... who turns out to be a vampire. Although that's not a spoiler at all, because it's quite obvious right from the beginning what she is.
Sure.
But, yeah, and it just kind of shows their sort of bizarre relationship developing.
It's good. It's interesting, like, the theme of the film is definitely isolation, you know. There's, and it's really, that theme's really echoed in the cinematography of it. It's all kind of bleak, kind of open spaces and these really kind of bleak kind of housing estates the characters live in.
That's the thing, because it's not, I wouldn't say it's almost less of a horror story rather than a love story.
Yeah, I get that.
It's a strange, it's a kind of creepy, odd love story.
Yeah.
The best kind.
Two people who are alone, but then they found they had each other.
Yeah, two outsiders.
Two outsiders.
They're brought together. Yeah, so...
Except they're 12, but one's hundreds of years old.
That's quite a nice line, that. Like, how old are you, 12? But I've been 12 for a long time.
Yeah.
It doesn't make you wonder.
It's a bit creepy, isn't it?
It is. I mean, that's the great thing about it. I think, as you were saying, the cinematography, it's just about the snow and the bleakness and the I couldn't live somewhere like that, could you?
Oh,
yeah. I couldn't live in 1980s Stockholm. I'll put it out there now. Trivia?
Trivia.
Trivia.
Trivial quiz, trivial quiz, trivial, trivial, trivial quiz. The one quiz to rule them all.
Okay, question one. So a Rubik's Cube features quite heavily in the film.
It certainly does.
But what was the sequel to Rubik's Cube? I had one as a kid. I don't know if you did as well.
The sequel to Rubik's Cube? The sequel to
it came out in like the mid-80s.
Was it a kind of triangle thing?
No.
Okay.
No. There was a triangle thing that was much later on.
Okay, well, I don't know. I should hang on. The Rubik's dodecahedron.
No, unfortunately. It was Rubik's Magic.
Oh.
Rubik's Magic, which is three interconnected rings.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
You had to use magic. Oh, wow. Well, that's a departure for them, wasn't it?
It's good.
Okay.
Okay, question two. So, of course, Sweden. As soon as you think of Sweden, who do you think of?
ABBA?
Of course.
Okay.
But who were the four members of ABBA?
What? Benny.
Yeah.
Is it Anfer? Anfia?
No, close.
Anfela?
Anfela.
Anfana?
Anfana.
Is it another B and an A? Alan and Brian.
Yeah, no. No, I'm afraid not. The actual answers were Benny, Bjorn.
Bjorn! Why did I forget Bjorn?
Bjorn again.
God, that's annoying.
You were close with Nathan.
Agnatha, that's it.
And the last one was Frida or Anifrida.
Frida, yeah.
So half a point for that one.
What? Because... Oh, yeah, fair enough. I got two.
You got two.
Sort of two in a bit.
Sort of two.
Yeah.
And last question. Morse code also features quite heavily in the film.
Yeah, good.
But when was Morse code invented? And I'll give you a 10-decade leeway for this. Oh, okay. Sorry, 10 days. What 10 days? 10 years. Leeway, not 10 decades. That's too easy.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. All right, I'm going to guess the 1890s.
Oh, sorry, you're way off. 1836. Very early.
Very early.
So I didn't really go with the film kind of
facts. No, you didn't,
there.
Did you?
I strayed a little.
Okay, question one. The film was remade by the Americans. But what film studio actually produced it?
Oh, I know this. It was Hammer.
Yes, Hammer Horror. Revitalised Hammer Horror, yes. Question two. What vampire... This film is set in the 80s. What vampire film was released in 1987?
I'm going to go Lost Boys.
Correct.
Yes.
Lost Boys, famous film. And finally, this is an easy one. What's the name of the Stockholm suburb the film was set in?
why is this the easy one? Lost Boys is easy. Come on.
It's mentioned a couple of times. And like, there's a lot about it on the internet because of the station you used.
I've not seen the internet.
Oh, right, it's new, it's brand new, it's great.
Oh, right.
It's okay.
No, I don't. No idea.
It's Blackenburg.
Blackenburg?
Yeah, Blackenburg. It's not Blackenburg, but Blackenburg.
Blackenburg.
I'm from Blackenburg.
I've been Blackenburg too.
So two.
Have you seen Ignathy in Blackenburg?
No. I've seen. That's two out of three you got. What did I get? I can't remember.
You got half.
Half.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's not good, is it?
You need to learn more about Sweden.
Yeah. So you mentioned earlier on, in our kind of general summing up of the film, the
chit-chat.
The chit-chat section. Chit-chat, yeah. Just where we're relaxed.
Yeah.
You enjoyed the cinematography.
I like the cinematography. I like the way you say it.
Cinematography.
Well. Cinematography.
It's like two separate words.
It's true. It's good. I enjoyed the cinematography. Good. My mind's gone blank now. You're just saying words at me and it's just making me laugh. I can't think with your face.
Just look away
to the wall.
They're not going to get upset there, not like Justin Lee Collins did.
No.
Good. Cinematography.
Yes.
It's good, isn't it?
It is good.
It's impressive. It symbolises a lot of what the film, that kind of, as you say, emptiness, feeling of loneliness, isolation, the kind of bleakness of Stockholm in the winter.
Yeah, it looks horrible, doesn't it?
Well, not horrible, just there's a silence to it, isn't there? Yeah. The snow kind of settles down, it's just quiet.
One of my favourite scenes is right near the beginning, where the first killing. How many killings? The first killing. And there's just this bleak wood, and it looks fantastic. All these kind of like silver birch trees, with just black in the background, and it just looks stunning, absolutely stunning. And that kind of sets the tone for the rest of the film, really. It's all about stark lines. All of the estates are just kind of real, you know, straight lines. There's no kind of curves or anything like that. And that really kind of fits with the bleakness of the whole thing.
Yeah, it's a cold film, completely, isn't it? Coldness in terms of the weather, coldness in the way it's shot, coldness in some of the, most of the relationships between the characters.
And yeah, it's just, it's so different from what you're kind of used to in the horror genre. It's just it's a beautiful film.
It's such a strange thing to me to call it a horror film.
No, that's true, actually.
Because I think it's just because it's got a vampire in it, it's called a horror film. But would you describe Twilight as a horror film?
I've not seen Twilight.
No, but I don't think it would be described. Described as a
Disney?
No, kind of. Is it fantasy romance? Is that something the genre? Like,
it's definitely not horror, right?
No, and this film, it's got horrific moments in it, but a lot of films have horrific moments in them.
Titanic,
that's one long horrific moment. But it doesn't set out to scare.
No.
It has kind of creepy moments, but it's not out to actually scare you. And I think to define it as a horror film, it requires it. The film's main purpose is to scare you.
Yes, yeah.
It can tell a great story, it can move you, it can make you laugh, but it needs to try and scare you. Yeah. And I don't really think this film tries to do that.
No, it's
so we shouldn't do it for our pre-Halloween special.
Damn! Oh,
my podcast is off! Stop the recording! Burn the tapes!
Yeah, we're recording this into our little Sony cassette deck, and then we upmix it to the internet later.
To the max. Upmix it to the max. Yeah, so it isn't a horror film, but it just is kind of shot in a sort of horror or unnerving or creepy way. Yeah, odd.
I think a lot of the creepiness is perhaps down to the main actors, Oscar and Ellie, or the characters they play. I can't remember the name of the actors and actress.
Yeah, we could check.
We could check. I can't be bothered.
But well, you're just wanting not to pronounce their names, because you know try to pronounce their names, you would sound as foolish as I do when I try to pronounce their names.
You're laying down the gauntlet.
Name of your names. Yeah.
Fine. I'm looking it up. Okay.
Okay.
All right. I've looked them up. Okay. Oscar is played by Gary Hildebrandt.
Okay. All right. Well done.
And Ellie is played by Nina Lee Anderson.
Yeah, okay.
Is that pass muster?
That's too bad, yeah, okay.
Lena and Kari.
Yeah, I've just noticed, actually, that under IMDb, this where it says, if you enjoyed this film, you might also enjoy Ghost.
Would you? I'm not quite sure.
I don't know, but in a funny way, they're both films that use supernatural things to tell a love story. Of course, one is a much darker and more twisted love story.
Yeah.
And, one's got Whoopi Wolker. And the other one's got a vampire in it.
Hey!
But, but yeah, I'm not saying it's the same as Ghost. But, I guess is that it, rather than being a horror film, it just uses supernatural and horrific setting to tell its story.
True, very true. So what's your favourite bit of the film?
There's a bit where he cuts his hand.
Oh, yes.
Now, this happens in a lot of kind of vampire films, doesn't it? Someone accidentally cuts their hand and the vampire sort of comically licks their lips or goes a bit nuts.
Oh, blood.
Yeah, and also, over the last sort of 15 years or 20 years, a lot of vampirism is treated as an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of cuts his hand to sort of become
Does anyone actually do that?
It's a common thing in films, though, isn't it?
They're always doing it in vampire films.
No one's ever offered to do it to me. I've never done it.
Well, we're so aware of AIDS now. This is set in 1982.
Maybe, in a funny way.
Yeah.
But, and there's just the way the kind of strange noises they use to go, like, kind of a gurgling stomach.
Yeah.
And her just, suddenly she jumps onto the blood and she just sort of tells him to run away.
Yeah.
Because she knows she won't.
Don't look at me! Don't look at me!
And then you sort of catch sort of an image of her, of how she actually looks.
Yeah, that's right.
The age she actually is. Or sort of an old, withered kind of crone almost.
Yeah, it's really creepy, that bit.
Really creepy. And I think that's a great bit because it's so just, it's because yeah, he's not actually realised until that point.
Yeah, he's a bit dopey, Oscar. Isn't he? A little bit dopey.
Well, to be fair to him, you don't just assume that your perhaps girlfriend is a vampire.
To be fair, after that, he did twig.
He did. That was it. That was the thing when he saw her lapping blood and making a weird guttural demonic sound.
It was to be honest, he was a bit quicker on the ball than the adults.
Yeah,
took a woman to catch on fire before they perhaps thought something was up.
How about you, though? What did you find at these?
Well, my favourite bit is actually the last scene, so I can't really talk about it without giving stuff away.
Yeah, that's true.
But it is, if you've seen the film, you'll know what I mean. A very, very striking scene. Again, beautifully shot and violent, but in a kind of almost balletic way, I guess.
Yeah. I think, you mean the last sequence, not the actual last...
No, not the final shot, although the final shot is very good as well.
Yeah, because I was going to say the final shot is great. I think, again, going back to some of the films we've done so far, it asks more questions than it answers.
Exactly, yeah, it's true.
That's why we like it.
We like that.
Sets it up for a great sequel.
No, just leave it as it is. But, yeah, perfect ending, fantastic film. Speaking of the sounds, actually, I was reading an article about the sound design in this film, and it's actually fascinating. You realise what a huge impact sound has, particularly in like the scene where Oscar's whipped in the face,
and
his ears start ringing.
Yeah,
I mean that's the sound there just completely conveys the feelings of it, of the character. You know.
Yeah.
Oh God, that hurt, didn't it?
Oh, and it'd be freezing cold as well.
But all the way through, the sound is fantastic. And the way they got some of the sound effects was quite interesting as well. Apparently, they got the main actress, Ellie, what's her name again? Lena.
Yeah, Lena.
To bite into melons and things to get the sound effect of the blood bite sucking.
Yeah, what did I read? Like sucking, like, milkshakes or smoothies or something.
Yeah.
Like quite a kind of thick liquid. Delicious. It's an interesting way it uses vampire lore, actually, the film.
Yeah.
I mean, like all vampire films, they pick and choose what they want to use. Because if you actually listed all the things that can hurt vampires, or the things, or the rules they're bounded by, I mean, maybe they are real, and they're just so bounded by all these damn rules, they can't actually do anything.
Yeah, it's
they
true.
Can't cross running water.
It's true.
Well,
they don't kind of mention anything about garlic or crosses or anything like that. They stray away from
No fangs.
No fangs.
No.
But they do stick quite rigidly to some of the rules, like obviously daylight.
Yeah.
And
of course, Let the Right One In. The title comes from the fact you have to invite vampires in.
Which also leads to one of the most memorable scenes of the film.
Yeah.
Again, don't really want to spoil it, but
no, but it shows what a vampire looks like when they walk in
without being invited.
The TV series Being Human did that in a much more over-the-top, gross way. Basically, the person just melted.
Oh. I think this did it a bit better.
But it's there's a tendency in some vampire films to almost treat them as not supernatural creatures, to try and keep them as completely, almost explain them in as almost scientific terms. So when you have things like having to be invited, that's just purely supernatural.
Yes.
You can't explain that in any other way.
Yeah.
It's like the lack of reflection or anything like that. Did she have that?
No,
because you do see her reflection occasionally. No, when she's looking through a window, I think you see a reflection.
Yeah. The cats thing was quite interesting.
Kind of nature turning against her. That's also a common thing. Nature feeling, cats. Although that does lead to a terrible scene.
Yes. Now that is, perhaps we should mention that as perhaps one of the slightly weaker bits of the film. I was watching it with my flatmate, and she actually burst out laughing at this point.
Well, it's CGI cats.
Now, the CGI, I think, in this film is actually done very, very well, because it's done quite subtly, and they don't make the mistake of showing the monster, really.
No, you don't really see her using her vampiric powers that much.
No, it's very kind of fleeting glances, almost, if at all.
It's suggested either she can jump really high or even perhaps fly.
Yes, yeah.
But you never see... You see one bit where she sort of drops down someone, but you don't see her jumping up anywhere
or anything
too over the top.
But perhaps the CGI cat scene is the one where they perhaps over-egg the pudding with the
CGI.
Yeah,
a kind of vampire lady goes into a house full of cats and all these cats sort of react badly to her, but obviously they have to have false cats... presenting cats, and it does. It's just ridiculous, that whole bit where they're just all jumping on her and biting her.
Yeah.
And then the bit where she kind of rolls down the stairs with some sort of pretend cat strapped to her.
Yeah, it just
looks a bit.
Doesn't look that great, does it?
No, it looks a bit ropey.
But otherwise, I think the CGI is very good, particularly the bit where Oscar taps that egg, that mysterious.
Yeah.
Egg. That's all CGI.
Yeah, because it fell in a really funny way.
But it looks really good, I thought. And the sound effects as well, accompanying it, sound true. Really good.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I mean, the film itself is set in the 1980s, but what I liked is they didn't really use the 1980s at all.
No, apart from the Rubik's Cube.
The Rubik's Cube. And but, of course, they could have used the Rubik's Magic to update
that's
it.
That's true. That's and, true. There's a mention of Brezhnev on the radio.
Yes, just in the background. And sort of a passing mention of the Russians as well. But nothing really.
Except really bad clothes. That was the
the
main thing.
I guess because the book, I mean, that's what something we haven't mentioned. It's actually based on a book.
Yeah, that's right. Well, apparently the book is much darker than the film. Much, much darker.
Well, I can imagine that you can get away with more in the written book. You can have scenes or sequences or situations which just on the, if shown on the film, would just be just stupidly horrific. Or, borderline kind of almost like snuff.
Yeah. Well, the her companion at the beginning, the old chap, the really creepy.
The old fella.
Her old fella. I mean, in the book, he's complete paedophile, and there's a really sinister relationship between the two. And
as unlike in the film, where he just murders people for
there's that bit later on where he goes after those boys, and in the book, there's a lot of sexual content to that as well.
Oh, really? Okay.
So the film, I think, wisely actually steers clear of a lot of that, because I think it would...
Leaves it a bit more ambiguous as to how he ended up in the situation. Basically, there's a guy, a carer for her, who sort of pretends to be her dad, but murders victims for her.
Yeah, I think they kind of hint at their relationship a little in the film.
Yeah, there's a time she sort of strokes his face, and he's sort of jealous of the new boy.
Yeah, but it's not overt.
No.
Whereas in the book, it's much more in your face.
In your face. But they don't really use the 80s period at all. I wonder why, other than the fact it was set in a book, I wonder why they actually do that. I mean, other than the fact it was based on a book which was set in the 80s, it would have been very easy just to update it.
Yeah, I suppose so. But then I suppose you've got things like mobile phones and stuff. How do you word that in? In a way, it's kind of a simpler time, I suppose. So perhaps people weren't as aware of the fact that all these people were dropping dead.
That's true. They do say the mobile phone has ruined horror films.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy for me to get out of the situation. I just call the police.
Oh, yeah, fine, done.
Not my phone, though. My phone keeps breaking.
Anyway. So they remade this film, as you mentioned in the trivia quiz.
Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah, an American remake. Obviously, we've not seen that. This was the first time I saw this one. I'm certainly not going to watch the remake before the original.
Even though it's by Hammer.
Even though it's by Hammer, I know. Apparently, it's okay, the remake.
Yeah, it got quite good reviews. I mean, from what I read on the... I haven't seen it. From what I read on the internet, it didn't do particularly well at the box office, but it was all right.
Just a bit pointless.
Yeah. Well, from the sounds of it, it's pretty much a straight kind of remake. Just watch the original.
Now, this has been quite common, hasn't it, for Hollywood to take foreign... And it seems to be horror films in particular.
Particularly horror. Like, I think of quite a few. The Ring.
All the kind of J-horror stuff.
Yeah, Dark Water.
And Korean horror films as well. Mm-hmm. Strange, isn't it?
It's weird. Why do they bother?
Yeah, because I don't think...
Is it basically just so that... Because people don't want to watch with subtitles?
Only reason? I actually quite like to see the opposite. I would like to see a Japanese version of an American horror film. See what they do there. Oh, I'd like to see the Japanese version of, I don't know, Saw or something like that. Because I suppose the reason why it's just a bit boring for us is just because we just know American and Western culture so well that when you hear they're going to remake it, you can almost predict the changes they're going to make and how the story will be sort of structured to fit a more kind of Western style.
Mm-hmm.
Now, without seeing the remake of Let the Right One In, it's called Let Me In.
Let Me In, yeah.
Without seeing
it. Made it a shorter title so you can say it a bit easier.
Let Me In. I kind of almost can imagine exactly how it's going to be. Yeah, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're quite a bit braver than that. But I don't know. I imagine they kind of up the distant parent angle a fair bit.
Yeah, probably have it make it a bit more gory as well. I imagine.
Yeah.
I wonder what they do with the ending though. That's why I'm intrigued.
Yes, that's...
Because the ending's so strong in this film.
It does make you wonder if they perhaps make the ending less ambiguous as to what happens to the characters.
Yeah.
Well, someone tell us? I don't know.
I'm not going to watch it. So would you recommend this film?
Yes.
Good, me too. Done.
I would recommend it. Yeah, it's good. It's a great film. Beautifully shot. Perhaps if someone was wanting to watch an out-and-out scary film, I would say don't go for this one, because it's not really a proper horror film.
Watch Ghost.
But watch Ghost, yeah. That bit where the demons come up.
Yeah, that bit where they drag him to hell again.
Yeah, that's creepy.
Oh, that's a bit scary.
But it's a kind of quite beautiful, quite beautiful bleak love story.
Oh.
But, yeah.
I'm welling up here.
Well, not really, because it's between...
No, it's quite creepy.
Yeah.
Anyway, great film. Highly recommended. Go watch it.
Indeed, yeah, definitely.
This film was slightly spoiled for me, though. When I was watching it with my flatmate, and she pointed out that one of the bullies looks like Anthea Turner.
It does look like
the ex-Blue Peter presenter, yeah, Anthea Turner.
The blonde, the kind of short, tubby blonde boy.
With the scarf.
With the big hair.
He totally does. As soon as she said it, I was like, he really looks like Anthea Turner. And then that just... Every time he came on, I couldn't concentrate.
Good thing I didn't watch it with you, so I didn't get distracted like that. But no, you're right. I did think all the way through, though, you do look like someone, and I couldn't quite put my finger on it. Of course.
It's kind of got that
TV's Anthea Turner.
That ice cream hair.
So, before we finish,
our secret sponsor for this
week,
sponsor
or
surprise,
the week.
But we haven't decided. Surprise
secret
sponsor.
Sponsor, surprise
secret,
sponsor.
Secret, surprise sponsor.
Yeah, because it's not really secret, is it?
Secret/surprise sponsor. So this week it's Arse Crayon.
At Arse Crayon, A-R-S-E, Crayon, C-R-A-Y-O-N.
They're the makers of films with no artistic merit, as they point out.
Yeah, they're one of our followers on Twitter. We had a look at a couple of videos, in particular the job interview
yeah,
which was...
Made us laugh in a curious kind of way.
And what was the other one?
Oh, Nigella Lawson.
Nigella Lawson,
Yes, it was very good work, Arse Crayon.
Yeah, there was something there. Definitely something there.
Got something.
So you've got the full backing of Wang Wang Industries, if you wish to draw upon it.
So yes, good work.
So check them out. I suppose they're on YouTube if you type in Arse Crayon into YouTube.
Yeah, you might get all sorts if you type into Arse Crayon into YouTube.
God knows what you'd get. Yeah, okay, well, next week we're going to be watching two films.
Yeah, it's an old traditional Hollywood double bill.
Yes, we're watching the Universal Studios Frankenstein and Bride of Frankenstein. James Whale's...
Finest Hour.
Yeah, many say, yeah. I've seen the first Frankenstein, you've seen
neither.
I've
never seen neither.
So that'll be interesting. Looking forward to that. And the great thing is, both are only just over an hour each.
So we're going to put that on Halloween itself, so next Wednesday, so look out for that one.
Yeah, it'll be good. We'll shall we have some creepy, scary sound effects?
Totally.
Again?
It was good fun last year, wasn't it? It was good fun.
Excellent.
I enjoyed it.
Stuff. All right, well... If you enjoyed this podcast, why not send us some recommendations via email?
Yep, you can send your recommendations to 101filmsyoushouldhaveseen @gmail.com.
You can also follow us on Twitter on 101films.
And you can check out our new Facebook page.
Facebook page, finally page, done. P-A-G-E, not group. I don't know why I spelled page, but I just got used to spelling Arse Crayon, I had to say, spell page.
Yeah, just type in 101films to Facebook and you should find us. And also, you can check out our blog at 101filmsyoushouldhaveseen.com.
Yeah, and we write bits and bobs on there.
Yeah.
It's worth checking out.
Check it out.
I think that's us, isn't it?
That's it.
I just want to say before we go, I was very tired during this.
He looks very tired.
So I'm sorry.
See you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Get those long nights that just seem to go on forever, and it's hardly ever daylight.
Not in a good way. No.
Not the long sexy nights.
Yeah, the sexy night.